keeping you up to date with all the latest SEO and web development news. Little flavour added in. Detroit style. The Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show coming live from Detroit.
Well, actually, Royal Oak. No one really lives in Detroit anymore.
You ready, Brian? It's the SEO podcast radio show. Brian Brosi, myself, Dwight Zeringer. Coming to you before a wonderful, beautiful weekend. It seems that fall is upon us here in Detroit.
Unless you live on the East Coast.
Yeah, let's refine it. Unless you live on the East Coast this weekend, we're looking at a beautiful weekend here in the D-Town of Detroit.
It's looking pretty grim out there, actually, right now.
Is it?
Looking out your window, yeah. It's gray and cloudy.
Well, we got Arts, Beats, and Eats.
Oh, is that this weekend?
It's happening.
Oh, that means parking is going to be a nightmare.
Down here?
Yeah. Well, better than the East Coast.
What's happening this week in the world of SEO and web and social?
Well, this week has been actually kind of slow in the world of SEO, but Google announced a couple big things. Well, actually, we missed it last week. They announced a change. Speaking of the weather, they announced a big change to Maps, and it's a pretty big deal, but it was very quiet and very subtle. They added a weather layer to Google Maps, so
yeah.
Now you can, at a glance, get all the weather anywhere in the world, and it's pretty current.
Yeah, and it's not just by state or metro area. It's really kind of refined in to bring you live weather readings.
And the cool thing about it is you can actually see the live cloud cover. So you could
there is cloud cover.
Yeah, you could actually see the hurricane off the. When I looked at it last, it was over the Bahamas, but you can see it. Moving.
How active is it? Or how often is it refreshed? Is it's not like
it seems like current, like real time.
Do they have a Doppler?
No, it's not animated yet, which would be really, really cool, but it's good enough for and one thing to note though is that it's not available yet on the mobile app, so you're not going to get it on your smartphone yet until they update the Maps application.
So do they have the Google Doppler 1 million?
Maybe the one
working for you.
1.5 million. I'm not sure yet. But no, but that's just another nail in the coffin for sites like weather.com.
You think so?
Well, if they start doing live weather with Doppler and animation, yes. I mean,
oh, yeah,
why huge. Are we going to need weather.com? I'll just go to Google Maps.
Yeah, that would be huge. Just to click off of different small, options.
Yeah,
on your
it'd be
mobile
pretty
device
cool to watch
and say, okay,
rolling.
I want
to
see street view. No, wait a minute. I want to see map view. No, wait a minute. Let's look at satellite view. And how's the weather here right now? Let me just pull out a little bit. And where's that front coming in from?
If you think about it, that might actually, it's something retail businesses should pay attention to because, if they're, there's really nothing they can do about it, I guess. weather.
But how does that benefit retail now that you bring that up?
Well, they could plan events and specials around it. Like, imagine, if they knew that a storm was coming in and it was an umbrella shop. I don't know. Are there umbrella shops? I don't even know. Probably somewhere.
All the Chinese people always pop out of nowhere in, like, New York City when it starts to sprinkle.
Actually,
street corner.
There is an umbrella shop in New Orleans, in the French Quarter. I just remember that. But, Google is – their mission is, as always, to make the world's information more accessible. So
we can collect
more
data.
Information. Yes.
And utilize that data to regurgitate and sell to other people that want to buy that.
Like umbrellas.
Because we're not evil.
And bottled water.
Interesting enough is yesterday I was going to buy the book at Barnes & Noble. It was $30, but it's – forgive me for quoting the name, but it's something like the 58th or the 59th employee. It's a guy that worked at Google for about 6 years. And he was the 58th or 59th employee. But it was $30 at Barnes & Noble. I bought it on iTunes for $12, which is awesome to have an electronic version. I started reading it last night, and, it's the whole thing of the don't be evil being such a oxymoron for the mantra of Google itself. And if anybody hasn't read the book, it's entitled Google, written back in, I think, 2006 or 7. That really goes over historically how Google was built up and everything from a third party. So someone outside of the organization that covered it. Very, very interesting read. And that's something that's probably really important for our age group and culture, so to speak, to understand what's going on in there. But now I think this is a whole other layer, really getting onto the inside, because the guy's really not holding out any punches. And he's not necessarily punching, but he's really just throwing things out, even from the ground level of how discombobulated the office was, and there was just stuff all over, and even with the IT person when he started, you know, said, he's like, oh, you're the first Doug we got. Do you want Doug at Google.com? And that was like the guy's high point of saying, like, I am actually Doug at Google.com. Yes, this is legit. This is real.
That is pretty legit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, but he also talked about as far as Sergey and Larry and their actual personalities and how straight they could walk the talk, not only talk it, but really when people came back in different ways. One of the things he ended up saying, too, was when they had more employees, this is like in 2001, and they'd have these weekly meetings, these TGIF meetings, and Sergey would come back and say to, like, one of the guys of product development, he's like, you mean to tell me this is what you present? You have 300 employees, which equals to about 6 years of employment work in the past 5 days, and this is all you have to show for?
Wow.
Like, he would really come back really hard, but then also be able to jump into the trenches and really do things. So I'm really interested in reading that even more and more and more. So I like it. So I would recommend people. It definitely seems to be a hook, line, and sinker read.
We'll have a link to it in the blog post for this podcast.
Yeah, cool. Let's talk about the plus one button. On Wednesday this week, the plus one for Google Plus, and I know that everybody now is completely aware of Google Plus. They're active in it. They're trying to figure out the circles and really wondering if they should be dedicating any time to this. Seems to be the trend a little bit. I know I'm falling off as far as my activity in it in a large way.
Yeah, I've seen that as a pattern. Actually, a lot of people who, you know, it's the typical social media rush and bust, like the bubble burst, you know, the quick one where everybody rushed in and register their accounts and said, hey, wow, I'm using this. And then they kind of slowed down and said, oh, I'm not that interested. But the people who truly see value in it are continuing to use it. And as we've talked about in this podcast, just for SEO value alone, I think Google Plus is going to continue to be very, very relevant and something that everybody needs to continue paying attention to.
So two things. We'll have a link over to the release on the AdWords blog, which is at adwordsblogspot.com for Inside AdWords, but essentially talking more about the plus one button from that blog that came out this Wednesday, August 24th. And the plus one sharing that you're now seeing all over Google search, and it's suggesting that you create that Google account in order to plus it, right?
Yeah.
So, again, trying to collect all of your data. But the cool part about this is now before, you could just plus one it, but now you can actually share it when you have your account with your circle. So by clicking that plus one, you can actually grab snippets that Google has defined and pulled from that particular page that you're, I guess, you know, plus one-ing. And what's cool about that is it's going to include images, it's going to include some summaries, some links inside of there that you'll be actually able to see and then automatically post to your circles and your friends.
So when I click plus one on a piece of content I like, such as, say, this blog post from Trademark, that's so awesome. I click plus one on that, and what, a little window will pop up underneath it and allow me to comment, which is probably more interesting to the people that have me in their circles than just saying Brian Ambrosi publicly plus one'd this article. Now I can say, hey, guys, read this. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're going to have the option to share on Google Plus.
Gotcha.
And
right
in
that button.
Yep, and it's going to go ahead and have that summary and different things in there. So there's going to be plus snippets that will be essentially in there too.
I like that word. Snippets.
Actually, it's snippets. That was definitely a roll of the tongue.
Oh, I like the word snippets better, actually. I wish it was called that. Maybe they should trademark that.
Yeah, but snippets, they probably are. Everybody's on an IP rush lately.
But we should trademark it.
Yeah. Trademark will trademark it. So snippets are other components that will be able to come from that. So this is just in beta right now. They're using the reference of Rotten Tomatoes and that working on there right now. But I think it's kind of important to see that and what gets pulled from that and then your circles that you can definitely spread that to. I think that's going to be very beneficial in many ways because it's easy.
It eliminates a step. You don't have to – if you want to share a piece of content on Google Plus right now, you have to go in, type something, add a link – paste the link in, you know, pick which circles.
This is huge for me because, you know, that I'm doing a lot of that while I'm driving. So
yeah.
It's hard to really type and then evade trying to get a ticket for typing.
Only if if only they could update the mobile app fast enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't really. They just released an update for it that finally allows you to reshare content. But, I mean, it's still really far behind the web interface.
Yeah, I'm sure they're working on it, and I'm sure they've got their challenges to it. But, you know, first to market and push that stuff out there and kind of get feedback from the community and see what they're using. So this is going to be a big component. And I think what's more important with this is that I want to pull from an SEO perspective is that content that's being pulled in for the Plus One preview is coming from some type of data that you have within that web page. A lot of it's going to be not only because of the code, but your meta tags, title description, proper tagging of your alt image, the alt tag of your images, the image actual name for the file name. There's a lot more things now to take in consideration to say, you know what, I'm creating this blog post and I'm going to have a podcast on it, but I'm going to have a white paper to download these things. When I'm producing that stuff and uploading it through our site for, you know, for publishing, I need to take in consideration a couple more steps and probably do some testing to see how that's embraced. After I submit my new website or my sitemap to Webmaster Central, get that embraced, it's indexed in Google. How is that being displayed and shown? How quickly can I change that around? Because you want to be suggestive on what they're grabbing.
Yeah, and it's neat because this gives you a glimpse into how Google sees your webpage.
Oh, 100%. And I think even more importantly is once you get into your Webmaster Central account and you start to see the types of plus ones, that's going to be a new metric they're going to have in there as far as plus one sharing. That's going to be released, obviously, very soon as well, once this is going to go out of beta into public, you know, if it's not there already. But it's now going to say how much it's plus one then shared. And then I'm going to really probably try to identify those. There's going to be some attributes we're going to probably be able to identify and append in code that will allow us to track that for conversions and analytics. So it's important when, let's say, we Reddit stuff. And we get a lot of traffic that comes in from Reddit. But we try to also throw with that traffic Reddit, is it a conversion or is it just visibility? So it's just traffic coming in or something happening with it. If people are plus wanting some particular post or white paper that we have, is that bringing traffic into the site? Is anything happening with that? Can we put those through a different funnel or channel? And tying that all together with analytics, I think, is going to be very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, in that same vein of taking a look at how Google actually sees your web page, we posted a blog post earlier this week about Google Places and how important that is for SEO to make sure your information in Google Places is current and up to date.
Oh, yeah. That's something everybody should be watching. And I know it's sometimes a big clusterfuck. I'm just going to say the F word. Of maintaining all these public accounts of your Yahoo account, your Bing account, do I have my maps places, how am I listed here and there and on City Search and on Yelp, and do I have the images uploaded correctly, and oh, we moved.
Yeah.
You know, we just went through that purpose of actually trying to re-update all of that information, then getting verification codes. It's worth it. It's worth it in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. We ran into a situation where a client of ours was concerned about their rankings for local searches, you know, for a certain city name and a certain product name. And when we pulled up their places page, it showed that they weren't even listed in the right category. So that's something we addressed immediately. And, you know, that's just something that everybody should check, you know.
Yeah, it's not a hard big gig. And I think more that even if you're not contacting an agency like us and speaking with us, you know, even if you're not hiring us, maybe do some consulting or just get involved in it to the level that you feel comfortable to understand, to be a little bit more aware. And as things start to be released, like this plus one button for social sharing, with more of the insight on the plus one, how does that apply? It's going to allow you to have a baseline understanding to see and potentially embrace on how that can apply and be beneficial to you or not.
Speaking of places as well, another bit of news this week, Facebook killed Facebook Places.
That's huge.
It's huge, and it was totally, totally quiet. They didn't announce it. They just updated the version, their mobile version of their app, the Facebook app, and it did not include the ability to check in. So some technology bloggers kind of picked up on that and looked into it a little more, and Facebook killed Places ostensibly.
Did they verify it as well?
Yeah, it's done. They made a statement about it.
What was their rhyme? Rhyme to the reason.
They said that their official position is that it's not dead. They're just shelving it for now until they can, you know.
Like the wave? The Google wave? Yeah. We're just going to shelve it for now.
But, you know, obviously the writing's on the wall for location-based services as they increasingly consolidate towards Foursquare. I mean, Foursquare is kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the room in that arena.
Especially with the partnership with Groupon.
Yeah. All the partnerships that Foursquare is making lately are just really kind of putting the nail in the coffin for other check-in services.
You know, Brian, before we wrap up, opinion. I monitor Angie's List and have an account there, even though I think it's ridiculous to spend $4.95 a month to actually
have a membership.
Yeah,
I never got into that just because of that reason right there. I was really thinking about getting into that space, but $5 a month.
Now, Angie's List is releasing their own type of Groupon daily deals.
Really? I did not know that.
Yes, they are, for their approved vendors, of course. Mm. there seems to be everybody's doing it. I mean, we see it localized here with like our media. They have their daily deals. Everybody's getting into it's becoming a very staticky bullshit is almost what it is. It's becoming information overload of how do I value? How do I actually see the value? And I guess your opinion, I'm asking for your opinion from a point of not only from a consumer on a public level, but also an advertiser, because marketing dollars with the way the economy is going, and I just came from a meeting when it was all about metrics and tangibility. What am I getting black and white? How am I measuring this? How are we making adjustments on a daily, weekly basis to get the best bang for our buck? And you have a lot of traditional reps and advertisers and companies out there that are now pushing on the online element and piggybacking, of course, or bandwagging off of the Groupons and the daily deals that have been happening. And I'm just wondering the validity of, is it becoming too much static bullshit for consumers to actually latch onto? Because everybody has some goddamn daily deal going on.
Yeah, it's, if I were the owner of like a local bakery or something like that right now, you would have to really, really come in and try really hard to get me to spend any money on any of those services.
Here's another thing too. Sorry to interrupt you, but everybody that I've talked to has had either some level of success, and they're, I've never heard anybody that's been just like, this is badass, we'll do it forever. I've always heard that, you know, it's bringing people in the door and we're hoping they're going to buy more stuff. I'm talking specifically of Groupon experience.
Yeah.
Or that, you know what, I am just, it's bringing people in, man, but it just costs too much money to do all this shit, and I don't know that it's really worth
it. The core problem, and one that Groupon has not been able to address or answer to any of the small business owners that have that concern, is will the people who come in for that deal ever come back? And Groupon's official stance on that is, oh, you know, it's your job to wow them. It's your job, you know, once we'll get them in the door.
Which is true.
It is true. But at the same time, they are bringing in customers from, you know, I heard a stat once that said that a small business like a coffee shop, all of their customers are all, they're going to find their success within 5 miles of their shop, right? It's pretty hard to get someone to drive, you know, 10 miles to go to a coffee shop 3 times a week. Or something like that.
Yeah.
You have to be pretty spectacular. So Groupon, the core problem with Groupon is that it brings in people from 50 miles away, 20 miles away, just to get their free sandwich, you know, and they're going to drive, oh, let's make a trip out of it. They're going to drive out there, take a look at it. Oh, yeah, this place is really cool, you know, and then maybe come back next year.
I think that can be argued so many different ways.
It can, but there's a lot or an infinite number of stories out there right now about businesses who regret their Groupon decision. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. You know, and so, and then you have other ones like Yelp, right? Yelp, mm-hmm. You can pay to have a good Yelp profile and have, you know, the ability to respond to your reviewers and whatnot. But, like, at what point does it become, you
falsified.
Know, yeah, disingenuous? Yeah. Like, okay, so say you're on Angie's, back to Angie's List, right? You're already paying $5 a month to be part of the service as a consumer. Now, don't you feel entitled then to have completely unbiased profiles for all the businesses you're reviewing? Like, if I paid $5 a month and I jumped in and looked at 6 different plumbers, but they were promoting one plumber as the, you know, premier, like...
Because he bought the bigger
because
package.
Because he bought the ad... I would feel ripped off. Like, I'm paying you. Why do I have to be advertised to? It's like seeing commercials on cable. I mean, it's annoying. It's tricky, but, you know.
It is. There's not an easy. It seems that whoever can put out the footprint, reinforce the message, get early adapters, and start collecting dollars and just keep regurgitating some success out of it at such a fast pace. Ends up being the winner.
That's
that
the
rides the wave. And these are all goddamn waves.
Yeah.
They really, really are. I'm going to leave you with one last thing. Is last weekend there was a very awesome article. I want to say it was in the New York Post or the Times. And it was about the fact of fabricated reviews and the fact of when is the truth really happening in reviews? Because a huge strategy now that's being employed. And there's a service. I'm not going to mention it straight out. Anybody can go and look for it. But you can hire a bunch of people through Amazon. They have a outsourcing service, and as cheap as a couple dollars, where you can go there in plentiful amounts. So if I wanted to go out, and I had a local... Well, they used it for, like, Travelocity. They're using it for travel and hotel reviews as their examples. And they were actually talking to people that were in the trenches and talking to people that actually performed some of the work and that were buying the work as well. And it was a fact of And that was the cool point about it, is these two guys from Cornell University in their early 20s developed some type of an algorithm to read reviews and to make an intelligent determination that they have come up with about a 91% success factor in truth of whether or not that actual review was fabricated or not.
Really?
Yeah, it was huge.
I'll link that article in the blog post because that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so they was talking about like TripAdvisor and stuff, like they're paying for so many different types of reviews to only have positive ones, but how they were identifying sentence structure and structure of paragraphs and what words and how they were separated in between. They gave some very specific examples of how their algorithm had some identifiers in it, but it was like, my husband and I, and leading off a paragraph or a sentence in that structure hinted and gave a quality point to the fact that it was probably fabricated or to the fabricated side.
Wow.
And how many people are going out there and putting this as part of their marketing budgets? We need to go out and buy 30 reviews a week for TripAdvisor, 30 for Orbitz, 30 for Priceline, and all these different third-party reviews, and it's becoming part of their marketing budget. So they're all bullshit.
Give me some echo here. You ready?
Yeah.
That's science.
Science. Marketing science. So what's the trust in any of this shit anyways? Because everybody that we've dealt with, it's always come up in conversation about the fabrication and creating multiple accounts and doing these things. There's a lot of detection devices put in place, so that can't happen. But, man, Black Hat always is just trailing right in front of the crest of the wave, man.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Always there. And, yeah, you do roll in the – what do they call that? The roll of the big wave off of the surf?
I don't know. I'm not a surfer.
Quick surfer? I don't know. The pipe. The pike?
Maybe. The pipe. Pike.
Well, the wave. When the wave rolls over and it crashes.
You know how you know we're from Michigan?
We'll talk about euchre, though.
That's true.
We'll trump some shit on euchre, that's for sure. All right. The SEO Podcast Radio Show. Thank you guys for joining us, and we look forward to your comments.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions' weekly podcast radio show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.